Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
The following radio show is a live recording of the I Survived Real Estate event on August 23rd, 2008. The event brought together realtors, auctioneers, investors, mortgage professionals, economists, data providers, and builders to discuss how we got here, how the respective industries are changing, and how we move forward and prosper together in 2008 and beyond. Proceeds from the event went to the Orange County affiliate of the Susan G. Komen for the Cure. The event would not have been possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners: the San Diego Creative Investment Association and President Bill Tan, the Investors Workshops of Orange County and President Sean Watkins, MVT Productions, the audio-video master behind the spectacular live production, White House Catering, who provided superb cuisine and outstanding service for the live event, Fry Wiles, the web development, internet marketing, and creative design firm that created the event site iSurvive2008.com, Proxibid, the online auction platform that aired the entire event online nationwide live, the Nixon Library, Pechanga Resort and Casino, the Chicago Bulls, the Denver Nuggets, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. See iSurvive2008.com for pictures, video, and more details on this historic event, brought to you by the Norris Group.
Our next speaker is Richard Lambros. He's the CEO of the Builders Industry Association of Southern California. They just came out with numbers that basically said that they have the lowest numbers they've had in a very long time. Richard is responsible for the day-to-day management of the sixth largest local building trade association in the nation and the largest local association in the state. He works with the BIA and other groups to craft and implement strategies that will grow the size and strength of the association. Richard, welcome.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, I have to start by apologizing that I don't have a PowerPoint tonight, but I was going to say, but I'm from the building industry, and you already heard that we're a little short on cash. So we've had to cut out PowerPoints, but, you know, heck, some of us even remember the good times when we could even afford handouts. And I do want to also apologize, and just sort of in the interest of full disclosure, I'm just going to let you know, I'm absolutely the least qualified person on this panel, but I'm kind of used to it. I'm just the builder guy. 2 weeks ago, I spoke on a panel on energy efficiency in the home, the latest in technology, and I was on a panel of physicists, scientists. The guy I spoke after was a nationally recognized physicist from the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. He's talking about, you know, how the electron works. I get up there and I've got to talk about double pane windows and tight heating ducts. So bear with me. I'll do the best I can. And we do appreciate you being here for this important cause, because I'm assuming you're out here for the cause. No one in their right mind would be out on a Saturday night to listen to this much bad news. So I assume you're all here for the cause. Well, as was already mentioned, you know, there's a lot going on, big cycle shifts, and all of you know that, you know, real estate's a speculative investment, right? You hear that all the time. And in the housing industry, we don't talk speculative investment, we talk cycles. You know, it goes up, it goes down. And I do think that the danger in thinking in terms of everything's just a cycle is that pretty soon you start to think that we're just sitting in a car on a roller coaster. And when it's going up, it's going up. You don't have to be good. You don't have to know what you're doing. You're just riding the cycle up. And when it's going down, you're just along for the ride. There's not a darn thing you can do. You're stuck in that car. There's no steering wheel. It's on a track. Outcome's predetermined. Let's just ride it out. And let's hope it's not a really big dip, because I hate the big dips. I like the really good upswings, not the big dips. I don't believe that. And I know all of you don't believe that, or you wouldn't be here. And that's, I want to thank Bruce for putting this on. We're really going to try to see if we can figure out what's happening and how we get at some of the solutions. Well, you know, what's happening in home building, you've already heard some of that. Bruce mentioned it just this week. The Construction Industry Research Board, a group called CURB, they came out with numbers, and it said that total new home production in California continued to decline across the board in July. Declines single-family, multifamily, both. It declined month-to-month, year-to-year. Basically, the numbers support a notion that California will produce the lowest number of new homes in recorded history. Sounds kind of ominous, recorded history. Let's just be clear. We've only been recording this since the mid-50s, okay? But But it is bad. It's bad. And in the industry, we don't talk about a recession. We've been talking about a depression. It's very difficult. Specifically, we'll build about 75,000 new homes this year in California. 75,000, what does that mean? Well, we did 113,000 last year, and that wasn't a good year, in case any of you missed it. And just 3 years ago, we did 209,000. So in 3 years, we have cut to one-third the amount of production. And thank you, Chris, for pointing out it can only go down to zero, right? Yeah, you think that's funny, don't you? Yeah. Things are pretty good for economists right now, aren't they, Chris? Yeah, you're doing this a lot on Saturday nights, aren't you? All right, try home building, pal. And also, just looking ahead, 2009 is not looking much better. CURB is looking at, again, 75,000 units statewide, and unfortunately, many in the industry feel that that's very much too optimistic of a forecast. So things are tough for home building. How about here in Southern California? Well, unfortunately, the news is not much better here. In fact, you could even say it's a little worse if you consider that Riverside and San Bernardino counties alone account for 30% of the reduction in single-family home permits across the state. So we are the home of much of the housing decline. Overall, Southern California permits have done that same sort of reduction to a third. We were at 100,000 permits in 2005. We're anticipated to be at 33,000 permits this year. Let's not miss the economic impact of that. And you know, the home building industry sometimes is like an aircraft carrier. But, you know, as goes the economy, goes the home building industry. As goes the home building industry, goes the economy. And the truth is, if you look at the numbers with a multiplier effect, just in Southern California, our industry produced $48 billion in overall economic activity. $48 billion in 2005. This year, we'll be lucky to get to $18 billion. That's $30 billion out of the region's economy. And we wonder why we're on the brink of recession. You shut down an engine as big as home building, you take $30 billion out of the six-county LA regional economy. That's huge. And then, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? That's jobs, obviously. That's people's ability to pay a mortgage, et cetera. Well, let's move quickly into a few things that we need to cover tonight. I'm not going to hit on so much the broader crisis you've already heard about. Let's just talk about what's going on in home building. And I'm just going to hit a few quick bullets because time is short. First of all, I want to plant a notion with you that homes today, the way we build them, are no longer just shelter, they're infrastructure. Why is that? Because more and more legislatures, regulators, they are driving into the new home so many of our societal problems. Our energy efficiency in California's new homes is the best in the country, and they're raising the bar again with the codes this year. We're dealing with green building in the new home. We're dealing with urban runoff in the new home. We're dealing with global warming in how we build the new home. That's great, except new homes are only 1% of the housing stock. So we're trying to jam into 1% the cost of helping 99%. There's an economic inequality there, and when you talk about why the cost of new homes, these are some of the factors that drive up the cost of new homes. At the same time, though, I want to leave with you another proposition. New homes are the Priuses, and some of our old homes are the Hummers. And we don't think of homes the same way we think of cars. Of course, you think, hey, my new car's got features and benefits that my old car doesn't have, but when it comes to a new home, it's just like an old home, right? In fact, they don't make them the way they used to. The old ones are better. Let's be happy we don't make them the way we used to. There's great additions in a new home, and we need to recognize that because it plays out a little bit in how we sort of compare housing is housing. Square footage is square footage. Well, a time may be coming when we talk about what's happening in the future where there's greater value to those amenities being built into a home. All right, as a result of these added costs, a couple things we all know. New home projects are more expensive than ever to produce, and new home projects are harder than ever to get approved. And I want to just talk very quickly about residual land value because most of you probably understand it. Let's assume there's a few in the audience that don't, like me. But residual land value is this. Some people assume that the price we put on a new home is just based on the cost of land and every other cost added up. That's what we sell for. In fact, it's the opposite. You get to the new home price by figuring out what would a comparable home sell for in that area, and you work backwards. You subtract vertical construction costs, land development costs, fees and extractions, builder's profit, sales and marketing costs, financing costs, and what's left basically is your residual land value. So think about that. All the costs are built in. What's left is the land value. So what happens when the housing market is contracting, when prices are going down, when all of a sudden you can't sell a $500,000 home, it's now a $250,000 or $300,000 home? There are projects all over this region that just don't pencil. And it's important to understand that, because understanding that helps you understand where this industry is focusing. If you understand that, then you understand why banks aren't lending on new projects or on land purchases. How do you value the land? You can't right now until there's more stability in the market. Builders, also, you'll understand why builders are so focused on trying to bring homes to market at the lowest possible price point, affordable levels. The more we can get to a lower cost home, the more chance that the land cost makes sense. Builders also are focused, this is also why builders are constantly focused on trying to deal with every new regulatory fee and extraction and reducing the cost of a home. And it also lets you understand why builders and developers are extremely focused on anything that adds uncertainty to the entitlement and building process, especially those legislative and regulatory changes that add time to the process. All right, to sum it up, real strength will return to home building when real strength returns to everything else you've heard tonight. When there's real stability in the housing market, stability of prices, stability of credit, reduction of inventory, and this coupled with other economic indicators like job growth and income growth, that's what's needed to bring back our sector. Thank you all for having me here tonight.
Thank you, Richard. Our next speaker is Joel Singer. He's the Executive Vice President for the California Association of Realtors. Joel has held the association's top staff position since November 1989 after serving as Carr's Chief Economist and heading the association's Public Affairs Department. Mr. Singer was instrumental in developing Real Estate Business Services, Inc., Carr's for-profit subsidiary, and serves as its president. Mr. Joel Singer.
Thank you. Good evening. It's always nice to be in a crowd of masochists. And I think my job is to make everyone feel better. But I can't really do that. What I can do, though, what I can do is talk a little bit about the myth versus the reality in the marketplace. And from my standpoint, this is my third downturn. I was an economist for my first downturn. I was young, fresh, out of UCLA. Some of you remember the best definition of an economist is the oldest one, frankly. An economist is someone who's good with numbers but doesn't have the charisma to be an accountant. So that's where I started. I'm thinking of getting into accountancy soon. But in any case, this is my third downturn. Every downturn is always different. It's always unique. In the 80s, we used to talk about disintermediation, a term that has got quaint and forgotten. In the 90s, we actually thought the problem in the 90s was foreclosures. Silly of us, wasn't it? When it was actually jobs. And this one, of course, is unique in its own way. It is really unique to the extent that we've never seen anything like it in terms of prices. All those charts you saw, I can bring you all of my charts. I normally come up with 70 charts and do them in 10 minutes, and it looks like a video. But you've seen the data. But what I want to talk about from my standpoint is what's happening now is part of the adjustment process. And the adjustment process in this one, we can't really look backwards to the past patterns because the adjustment process is already radically different. Now, first, let me deal a little bit with reality. The only question I think any of us really care about is, when is this thing going to turn around? That's the question I get a million times. I was just at a conference with 1,500 people. Every panel, the panel that talked about mortgage lending, the panel that talked about technology, that was the only question they were addressing. And the answer from my standpoint is, I don't know. I will tell you this, though. From a measurable standpoint of activity, the bottom in California is past. It's very, very simple. The bottom in the fourth quarter was about 270,000 units. I'm speaking about existing homes, 270,000 units on an annualized basis. The second quarter, the number was over 400,000. I can't talk about numbers we're releasing in the next couple of months, but from my standpoint, they're going to verify exactly that pattern. We're up 50% on activity from the bottom. Now, having said that, why does it feel so bad? And it feels really bad because prices are down and down dramatically. If you had asked anyone of us in this room whether they would take a look at a chart and see a bunch of 20 to 30 to even 40% annual drops in median price housing, would you have believed it 2 years ago? It's absolutely unprecedented. And even though I can tell you those drops are exaggerated by a change in the housing composition, a change that occurred first in 2006 when the bottom end dropped, and now in 2008 when the top end has disappeared, it doesn't make any difference. Real prices are down. They're down dramatically. And the fact of the matter is they continue to bottom, even as activity has picked up 50%. So what in this picture suggests that we're adjusting? Does it look like what we've experienced up till now? Well, let me suggest to you we are adjusting. And there's a couple things that make that clear to me. One, my friend Rich's comments earlier about what's happening to new housing. New housing has been squeezed out of the marketplace. I represent the Hummers, by the way. We're still there. The other people who've been squeezed out of the marketplace are who? What we call the civilian seller. It is a marketplace today that is entirely a marketplace of necessitous sellers and or distressed properties. In some markets, you've got 75 to 80% of the listings, you saw the foreclosure numbers earlier, that are in some way distressed properties. In other markets, the number is even higher. For the state as a whole, roughly 2 out of 3 transactions are distressed transactions. And the question is, when is that going to change? When does this thing really turn around? Well, you heard data that says 2009 is going to be bad, and I agree with that. One of the slides I would share with you is a slide showing foreclosures, likely foreclosures, continuing to be high throughout 2009. I don't think the reverberations, by the way, the echo effect, is quite as strong as 2010, but I'm not in the business of selling foreclosure data either. So, you know, from my standpoint, it's really hard to tell what's going to happen beyond 2009, but 2009 is certainly going to be a market distressed, sales being the norm. Now, how long are prices going to drop? Well, let's talk about it. What would we look for to mark a bottom? One, we'd look at the number of sales. I already mentioned sales are up 50%, but we know prices are still dropping. So that in and of itself is hardly a bottom. What else would we look for? Inventory. You know, Rich talked about the new housing inventory dropping when you're building that little, and most of that building, many of it is rental, multifamily housing, still a sector that has fairly low vacancy, and one could argue the vacancy factor there is not going to go up as people vacate ownership for rentals. The inventory is moving down to a 6-month supply of housing compared to a 14-month supply of existing housing a year and a half ago. Yet prices are still falling rapidly. So the real question is, what's going to turn it around? Well, let me tell you what's not going to turn it around. If, in fact, I believe in the doldrum theory, it could be worse. I could be like Chris. I could be a believer in the collapse is coming theory. But the doldrum theory is problematic enough. Our unemployment rate has crept up. I see very little consumer strength. But by the same token, doldrum looks good when I listen to Chris. On the other hand, I think there's a bigger wild card that concerns me more. And we heard it 2 or 3 times, and that is the notion that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are dead. And from a financial standpoint, they are dead. They are insolvent. I think if you looked at it honestly, you looked at their books, they're underwater. They're insolvent. Well, for those of us who are around for a while, I don't want to say I'm old, but I am, we've seen this before. Fannie Mae, when I came on board in the early 80s, Fannie Mae had a portfolio. Mortgage-backed securities were kind of a new invention. They were a portfolio lender whose portfolio at one point was 375 basis points underwater. If you look at it today, they actually look better. So that's the only good news I can say there. Now, having said it from that standpoint, the question is, when they get nationalized, what does that mean? Well, if they get nationalized, my suspicion is it's going to be a further jolt to the marketplace. If they disappear, and frankly, there's a lot of reasons why their stockholders and shareholders and certainly their corporate leadership deserves to be eviscerated, one of the reasons is not for the good of the economy. The fact of the matter is that Fannie and Freddie are at this point at the highest level of housing support that I've ever seen in my 30 years of doing this. They account for roughly 90%, along with FHA, 90% of all loans that are being made in the current marketplace. So you have two very large wild cards, the economy and the GSEs. So what does this all mean for those of us, you know, who are in the business? Well, when I put this all together, the one thing I can't explain is that 50% increase in existing homes activity. I don't have a good way of explaining that. I can talk to you about affordability having improved a great deal, and it has. Affordability is much higher than it used to be. You know, but Bruce always tells me my affordability numbers are ridiculous anyway, because when affordability goes down, the market goes up. That's the Bruce theory, and we'll talk about that maybe later. But the fact of the matter is that affordability has improved. The number of first-time buyers this year, interestingly enough, will be 50% of the marketplace. And in fact, the number of first-time buyers this year is going to increase and be at the highest level we've seen in 3 years. So there are opportunities out there. First-time buyers are out there. The second thing that I think is really interesting from the standpoint of how this goes is what you should be doing. And again, I'll give you the same analogy as I wrap up here that I give my members. In the market we saw 3 years ago, any idiot could be a successful investor. You know, it didn't take much. It was almost as easy as getting a loan. But not as easy as getting a refi. In today's marketplace, the reality is good investors are going to make a difference because there are starting to be opportunities out there. Those opportunities are going to be very risky. I guess what I'm saying to all of you is, as you enter this marketplace, look at the opportunities. Your investments today are better investments than the investments you made 2, 3, 4, and 5 years ago. But don't assume that the pattern of an immediate explosive growth in prices is the pattern that we're going to see. Rather, assume that the property actually makes economic sense. And in some instances, we're there, but in most instances, we're not. And on that note, all I can say is it's going to be a very challenging year, but it's also one where professionals will be extremely successful. Thank you very much.
Joel, thank you for your comments. Yeah, we do disagree with that affordability number, but I don't know if we're going to get to it tonight or not. Tommy Williams is our next speaker. He's president of the National Auctioneers Association and co-founder of Williams and Williams Auction Company, who just successfully auctioned off a couple of my properties back east. Tommy has spent has over 40 years' experience as a real estate auctioneer, a land developer, and a real estate investment. He currently serves, again, as president of the Auction Association. He has been involved in over 10,000 auctions in all 48 states, contiguous states, and in Canada. Mr. Williams.
Good evening. Certainly a privilege and a pleasure to have a chance to visit with you. We've been talking about solutions. And I'm going to give you this is a solution that I'm 67. So that kind of gives you, I started in this business literally when I was 16 years old. And I've been in the auction business my entire life. So what I'm bringing to you is something that I have thought very passionately about for all of those 50-some years that I've actually been involved in the auction business. And that is that if you live in America, you probably believe that we do base our economy. And the gentleman that spoke, Chris, I have to agree with you 100%. He's saying that reality always is what we deal with. Reality of the marketplace is exactly what it is. One of the most amazing things to me is that the entire world sets their markets by an auction. I hope you all realize that. Every stock market in the world today is an auction market. That market closed today. Whatever that stock was worth tonight is exactly what it's worth tonight if you would like to sell it or if you would like to buy it. You can speculate that it'll be worth more tomorrow morning by making the decision to wait till tomorrow morning to do anything about it. One of the few things that we've ever tried to violate in that particular regard is real estate, and particularly residential real estate. I come from rural America. That's where my roots are. And rural America has sold their rural real estate at auction. Maybe it's shocking to you here in California, But that has been really the main way that real estate through the Midwestern part of the United States, I'm talking rural land, has traded for years and years and years.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.